From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 19th day of January, 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of Adium Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And a bit later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Climbers facility that belongs to the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, Cargill is looking to sell its majority interest in the world's second largest fertilizer company. The Reserve Bank of India is set to raise interest rates for the seventh time in less than a year. And figures due out from China tomorrow may show its economic growth has slowed, but it's still at a staggering 10% pace. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. And then I'll tell you about the five-year, $10 million grant ADM made today to the University of Illinois to research and reduce post-harvest losses in developing nations. And don't forget, Drew Lerner, World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City, will be here to help take a look at the agricultural weather forecast on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day lower and then rather higher in the nearby wheat pit. A March contract at 797 and a quarter, up four. May at 826, up 3 3/4. In July, wheat at 849 and a quarter, up three. It was the corn pit was the lower. It's $6.41 and a quarter in the March, down 18 and a quarter. May at 651 and a quarter, down 18 cents. July corn at 655 and a half, 17 and a half lower. September at 605 and a quarter, down 11 and a half. And December futures at $5.68 and a quarter, down 9 3/4. March soybeans at $14.11 and a half, a penny and 3/4 lower. May beans at $14.22, down 1 1/4. July at $14.28, down 0.25 cents. And November beans at $13.36, a dime higher on the afternoon. The soybean meal finished the March at $3.83.30. It was down a dime. The soybean oil at $57.69 was up 14 on the day. The Mercantile Exchange live cattle futures were down 40 cents at $108.80. The feeders at $127 were down 30 cents. And the lean hog futures were off 47.5 cents per 100 pounds. They finished at $80 even. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media in Urbana-Champaign. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures in the February contract, $90.76 a barrel, down 62 cents. Ethanol at 231 and 3/10, 3 6/10 lower. Natural gas at 455 and 4/10, up 12 and 9/10 of a cent. And the heating oil or diesel fuel, 7 6/10 of a cent higher at $2.65 and 3/10. Gold futures at $1,370.20 an ounce finished the day, up $2.10. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is just about 31 points lower at 11,806. And the U.S. dollar now down 0.32 at 78.63. The CRB index at 333.43 is down 0.35 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area as it comes from the National Weather Service for this afternoon. Yet cloudy skies, a high near 26 degrees. West-northwest winds between 7 and 9 miles an hour. Tonight, snow mainly after midnight. Low around 19 degrees. North-northwest winds around 7 miles an hour. The chance of precip this evening at 80%. New snow accumulation of 1 to 2 inches is possible. Thursday, snow likely mainly before noon. Cloudy, a high near 21. The wind chill values, though, between 4 and 12 degrees. Northwest winds at 6 to 13 miles an hour. They'll gust as high as 17. The chance of precip tomorrow is 70%. New snow then, another 1 to 2 inches possible. And Thursday night, cloudy, gradually becoming partly cloudy with a low of around 1 degree. That's right, 1 degree on Thursday evening. Wind chill values between minus 2 and minus 12 here. West-northwest winds between 10 and 17 miles an hour. The gust all the way up to 25. And Friday, a high of just 12 degrees. Mostly sunny skies. Northwest winds at 6 to 9 miles an hour. More on the weather forecast and what's happening in the world of agricultural weather when we talk with Drew Lerner at the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Service now on the line with us to take a look at the agricultural marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It was a good day here on this campus. Your company came and delivered good news to us, $10 million worth of grants over 5 years for post-harvest loss. We'll hear a bit more on that this afternoon. Part of that, I suppose, is to try to recover some of what is wasted in terms of development of agricultural goods across the globe, and hopefully we'll be able to help out with that. In terms of what's happening in the marketplace, though, today, futures were a bit lower. Did that surprise you at all?
Well, we knew from the last night's trade that there was a lot of excitement in the commodity world. There was one group that last night we understand that Cargill was going to sell their potash company. There was a story that, over this morning that Goldman Sachs earnings weren't as good as what the street was calling for. And then another story that one hedge fund basically tripled their investment portfolio from their money invested, which is I call a home run. The market was also quite excited about the Chinese president at the White House visiting and things like that. We knew that the market had a lot of fluff in it, and they did basically during the early part of the day. There was a story that the Australians sold 500, half a million tons of feed wheat at a fairly cheap price, and there's another 2-3 million tons of feed wheat of the same kind of quality that can be sold to China. This had been anticipated, but some of the fluff in the corn market was based on the idea if crude oil goes to $120 a barrel. The private weather people were also talking about three nice rainfall events in Argentina between now and the end of the month, which is almost perfect. And as a result of that, the market did give way. It still closed pretty strong when you add everything together.
Well, it gave way, but when you have corn at $6.41 and a quarter in the nearby March contract, while it was off 18 and a quarter, that is still a pretty hefty price.
That's right. And we can't say that basically school is out or anything like that, but it is a kind of a statement to the marketplace that it can get overbought. And I think that's just exactly the sum and substance of the story, that we did get very pricey. We will see not only feed wheat in the future haunt the market, we will see as we go into the early springtime a very large Argentine and also Brazilian crop of corn and soybeans that will come into the marketplace.
Overbought is a word that is often used when the market needs to take a break from the upside potential. You think there's still more there?
Well, we know that the open interest is sky high, and we know that the amount of money that's been made in the long side of the market has been enormous, and we do know that that probably there's people that need to buy more. But my hunch is that the market can basically quiet down some in here and can sell off a little more, but at this time, I think the real support in corn will be somewhere in that 625 area. I think somewhere in that $14 area basis the March beans, and those are kind of key support areas now.
Do you have targets in the same venue for December and November for corn and soybeans?
Well, I think that it'll be interesting to see anything. I think corn will support that, new crop corn will support that 560 to 588 area, and the November beans somewhere in that 1310 to 20 area for a while. And it is interesting to see, for example, the feed wheat and some people go on to say is that we're starting to see more demand show up with good quality wheat because there is so much feed wheat. And, of course, one of the last supplies of good quality wheat will be here in the U.S. in the next for the next 3 to 4 months.
So your suggestion is that'll hold up the nearbys and the old crop for corn, I suppose, and possibly even soybeans. New crop, though, a different sort of story, or will it stay tight until we figure out what acreage looks like?
Yeah, that's a good point. And, of course, we'll get, you know, the government will have their Washington economic outlook in February. And, of course, there will be this tremendous debate on acreage in March. Also, the weather forecast in the Western Plains will help decide a lot of the equation. But really, at this time, when we hear these words, 6 to 8 million acres of additional acreage coming into the marketplace, my opinion, that's world acres and not necessarily the U.S. Duty to get that many more acres.
Thank you so much for your time today.
Have a profitable day, Todd.
Hey, you too. Thank you much. That's Paul Cooley. He's with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Wednesday afternoon.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
The 21st annual All-Day Agricultural Outlook meeting is sure to attract a crowd. Among those presenting March 8th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, Murray Wise from Murray Wise Associates, Joe Vaklovic from MF Global, Roy Huckabee from the Lind Group, and Tom Fritz from EFG. Avoid the long registration line by calling 800-528-7980. The cost of the ticket is $20 and includes a continental breakfast and lunch. When you register with your major credit card, we'll mail your tickets good for our VIP line. The number to call is 800-528-7980.
Get your tickets now for our All-Day Ag Outlook. Dave Dickey is back. He'll bring you the agricultural news for this afternoon.
In agricultural news, agribusiness giant Cargill plans to spin off its majority stake in Mosaic Company, a move that could eventually lead to takeover offers for the world's second-largest fertilizer producer. The distribution of the 64% stake in Mosaic, worth about $24 billion, will allow Cargill to maintain its private company status. Algeria's State Grains Agency has purchased around 1 million tons of wheat in the past 2 weeks to avoid shortages in case of unrest. Several Algerian towns, including the capital, experienced days of rioting earlier this month, triggered by a sharp rise in food prices. 2 people were killed and hundreds were injured. To calm the situation, Algeria has decided to cut the cost of some of its foodstuffs and to increase by 18% the amount of soft wheat it supplies to the local market each month. The Reserve Bank of India is expected to raise interest rates next week for the 7th time in a year, after headline inflation accelerated to 8.4% in December. Record global food prices add to India's woes, which result from little investment over more than 2 decades in a farm economy beset by low crop yields, a lengthy chain of middlemen, and poor transport that means up to 30% of produce spoils before it reaches consumers. Figures due for release tomorrow are expected to show China's economy grew just over 10% last year, slowing from a post-crisis high of nearly 12% in the first quarter of 2011. State media reports put inflation in December at about 4.5%, down from a 28-month high of 5.1% in November. China's leaders have made curbing inflation a top priority. They have hiked interest rates twice in the past 4 months and repeatedly tightened investment curbs to keep inflation from spreading throughout the economy. A trade delegation from China will sign agreements in Chicago on Thursday to buy an unspecified amount of U.S. soybeans. Just over 4 months into the 2010-11 marketing year, sales of U.S. soybeans reached 1.319 billion bushels, with sales to China accounting for nearly two-thirds of that total. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and of Commodity Week on this campus today. Archer Daniels Midland made a $10 million grant for the ADM Institute for the Prevention of Post-Harvest Loss. The Global Institute is aimed at smallholder farmers in the developing world to help preserve millions of metric tons of grains and oilseeds lost each year to pest, disease, mishandling, and other factors after it has been harvested and moved into storage. Mike Baroni is the Vice President of Economic Policy at Archer Daniels Midland Company in Decatur, Illinois. He was on campus. I asked him about the Institute.
Well, it's exciting, and we were really pleased to announce today that we have funded this with a $10 million donation from our ADM Cares program. This ties in directly with our overall business and sustainability strategies. When you look ahead to the middle of this century, population of the world is expected to grow to about 9 billion people. And that means to feed them, the demand for agricultural products is expected to double by that period of time. So that's a monumental task for agriculture to step up and fill those needs. We realize that there's a lot of research dollars and a lot of time and energy spent on working on the productivity side of agriculture, and great progress is being made there, along with building out the infrastructure to help handle those larger crops. But on the side of post-harvest losses, there's very little work being done. Less than 5% of all research dollars are going into this area. So we wanted to fill the gap and have a little more of a focus on this to help fill out that tripod of need to feed the needs of this world going forward. This issue is more in the developing world, and that'll be more of the focus on it. And it's a big issue. There's estimates that as much as 10 to 20% of our global crops are lost to post-harvest losses, you know, such as exposure to the elements and mishandling and pests and contamination. The FAO of the UN, the Food and Agriculture Organization, estimated in 2007 that as much as 30 million tons of corn, 20 million tons of wheat, and about 3 million tons of soybeans were lost to post-harvest operations. And the folks here at the U of I calculated that just the wheat and rice portion of those losses is the equivalent to provide the cereal grain nutritional requirements of about 380 million people. So addressing this part of it can go a long way to helping us meet the needs of a growing population coming forward.
As you take a look at those developing nations, India, Brazil, both of which have actually very large agricultural bases, I was thinking here in the U.S. about what kind of post-harvest losses we have, but in those nations, what kinds of problems will you want to solve first?
Well, we're aiming mostly at the smallholder farmers, which there are many of them in the developing countries, and it's primarily educating them and letting them have access to the technology and the systems and the programs that we're fortunate enough to have here. So that'll be the main target, is collecting the information and then disseminating it out to where it's needed, primarily with the small farmers.
How long do you expect that this institute will be on this campus?
Well, at least for certain, the next 5 years. We're committed to supporting it for the next 5 years, for certain. And beyond that, we'll see what kind of progress we make. And we're very confident that we'll make a lot of progress and make a real difference.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was the Vice President for Economic Policy at ADM. That's the Archer Daniels Midland Company, Michael Baroni. He was on campus today to discuss ADM's $10 million five-year grant to the University of Illinois for the ADM Institute for the Prevention of Post-Harvest Loss.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You are listening to the Closing Market Report, of course, a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason on this Wednesday afternoon. The folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana, have joined us to take a look at the agricultural cash grain market. Scott Butcher is on the phone line. Hi, Scott. How are you today?
Good. How are you, Todd?
I guess I'm not looking forward to snow or cold, but it's coming our way one way or the other, isn't it?
That's right, whether we want it or not.
Does that slow things down very much for you when you're in the grain elevator business? And for your ethanol plant, does it cause many problems?
Well, it doesn't. I mean, it seems like, you know, anymore, I mean, most of the logistical issues are, you know, a lot simpler than they used to be. So I think that, you know, unless we have huge amounts of snow, it'll probably be business as usual.
And are you pumping a lot of corn through the ethanol plant still?
We are. We're putting through as much as we can right now.
Margins are good then?
Yeah, margins are good.
Expectations when you look out as to when they might turn bad?
Well, you know, as you look out into the future, I mean, things still look good with the gas prices being the way they are. Ethanol continues to be good as well. So even with the move up in corn, if there's a, you know, parallel move in oil and petroleum, then I think the margins are going to stay, you know, in pretty good shape.
While corn did set back today, do you expect that your basis will narrow or will it follow it down?
You know, I don't think there'll be much move in basis for a minute anyway. It feels like the, you know, with the futures being as high as they are, we're still seeing decent cash movement. You know, obviously if we have two or three days in a row like we had today, then maybe that changes the story a little bit. But right now I don't see much change.
Usually we talk a bit about soybean processors in your area. Are they still hunting around frantically for soybeans?
They are not, really. They are feeling pretty good right now, it looks like. The places to the place to the north of us and then south of us as well have, you know, felt pretty good here for a while anyway, and, you know, seem to be posturing that they have plenty of beans, and they're not really needing any right now. Man. Their bids reflect that.
And what are your bids for the day?
Our bids for corn are $6.37 and soybeans $13.86.
Thank you so very much, Scott.
Thank you.
Scott Butcher is with the Anderson's Climbers facility. He's in Delphi, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
The 21st annual All-Day Agricultural Outlook meeting is sure to attract a crowd. Among those presenting March 8th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, Murray Wise from Murray Wise Associates, Joe Vaklovic from MF Global, Roy Huckabee from the Lind Group, and Tom Fritz from EFG. Avoid the long registration line by calling 800-528-7980. The cost of the ticket is $20 and includes a continental breakfast and lunch. When you register with your major credit card, we'll mail your tickets good for our VIP line. The number to call is 800-528-7980.
Hey, just a reminder, we sold out last year before the event, so do make that phone call today. I'll be back in just a couple minutes, and we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast right here on the Closing Market Report.
It's National Popcorn Day. Popcorn first became a hit in the U.S. during the Great Depression, especially in movie theaters, where it was often sold at 5 cents a bag. By the way, at least six cities claim to be the popcorn capital of the world, including Valparaiso and Van Buren, Indiana, and Ridgeway, Illinois. On this day in agricultural history in 1736, James Watt was born. A Scottish inventor, his steam engine contributed substantially to the Industrial Revolution. In 1813, Sir Henry Bessemer was born, an English inventor and engineer. He developed the first process for manufacturing steel inexpensively. In 1825, Ezra Dagrin and Thomas Kensett of New York City were granted the first U.S. patent for food storage in cans. They had been canning seafood since developing the process in 1819. Tin cans had been used by the military and explorers since at least 1813, but their development did not really take off until after the Civil War. And in 1915, George Claude of Paris was issued a U.S. patent for a neon tube advertising sign. Claude introduced neon signs in the U.S. in 1923. A Packard car dealership in Los Angeles purchased a pair for $2,500. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, last night it was slick here, a little ice on the roads, kind of the same this morning. And just about the time I suppose we think we're out of the woods, it looks like there might be some snow headed our way. Can you tell me about it?
Oh, yes. Pretty nice little snow event, in fact. Of course, that's a relative term, I realize. From a meteorological perspective, we're all excited about it, but I'm sure for those who have to travel, it's not going to be a very pleasant event. This is already getting underway out across the plains at this hour, and we'll be crossing into a part of the western Corn Belt almost as we move through the afternoon into the evening, and will become more significant. We'll probably see accumulations of snow run anywhere from 1 to 4 inches generally, and there's going to be a band of probably 6 to 9 inch accumulations out to the west, mostly in Nebraska, parts of northeastern Kansas, Missouri. And as it moves off to the east, it will probably mellow out a little bit, so we'll end up with some local 4 to 6 inch accumulations that will occur across the heart of the Midwest. The further south you go, the more significant the snow is likely to be. So you get down to the Ohio River Basin and most areas there from portions of the, let's say, the southern half of Illinois on into the southern portions of Ohio will probably see some of the greater accumulations. Lighter snows will occur to the north, and there will be some travel issues to deal with. And what's really going to be tough is that after this precipitation moves out of the region, there's going to be some very cold air settling into the region. On Friday morning, we'll see sub-zero temperatures all the way down into southern Illinois, southern parts of Missouri, southern Indiana, even west-central sections of Ohio, with extremes up in Minnesota dropping into the negative 30s, for crying out loud. That's too much. And it looks like we're going to be stuck in a cold weather mode on into the early part of next week, although it probably won't see temperatures quite as extreme as they will be on Friday morning.
Well, let's talk about warmer weather. What do you see in the southern hemisphere?
Well, things in Argentina are still looking good for some showers and thunderstorms. The last satellite imagery I saw a little while ago was suggesting thunderstorms are firing up in some of the driest area in central Argentina. That's Entre Rios and parts of southern Santa Fe. Those storms will likely generate some locally heavy rainfall the rest of this afternoon, but it's only a portion of the dry region that's going to benefit. Many other of the drier areas will get a few showers, but they'll be very brief and light, and we'll still see a drier bias in portions of Cordoba and neighboring areas in the southwest corner and west central parts of Santa Fe. A secondary disturbance will come along as we move into the early part of next week, and that one actually has a little bit more room to develop into something bigger. We may see a lot of these dry areas getting a better drink of water during the early to middle part of next week. Now, in the past week, we've seen some impressive rainfall down in Buenos Aires, parts of La Pampa, and also in the far northwest corner of Argentina. So if we get the rain that comes up here later today and then that which occurs early next week in the center of the country, I think a large portion of Argentina's really driest areas will have been whittled down to a very small portion of the overall production region.
And do you think that whittling that down will actually help the crop, or will it just maintain it?
it's going to maintain it. We really are beyond the point of repair in some of the crop areas. Certainly the corn crop is pretty much done. At least the early crop is. The late crop can still benefit somewhat from the precipitation. Sunseed will not be able to benefit. The soybeans will still benefit, I think. But the soybean crop has been stressed to the point where it has lost some yield potential and won't fully gain it back.
Drew, thanks so much.
Have a great afternoon.
You too. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.